Welcome to Heartbeat, the podcast of the Heart Women's Ministry. Heart is a Catholic women's ministry whose vision is to encourage women in their faith, in their life, and in who God's created them to be. This is a place where you'll hear from some amazing women share from their heart to your heart about who God is, what God's doing in their life, and how they're doing their very best to live out their faith. We pray that you are blessed and inspired. Enjoy Heartbeat. Hello and welcome to Heartbeat. Welcome to our podcast for this week. My name is Emma and I'm here again with Michaela.
Hello guys, how are you going?
We are good. Yes, I'm very good. I actually had... you were saying hello to everyone else, but I'm just jumping in right now.
That's good.
I want to share this morning, I had a bit of an eyeliner kerfuffle, bungle. I don't know if you've ever had one of those before.
Those days where you just kind of do one eye and then the other eye and then you think, oh, I've got to fix the other eye.
Yep. So the first eye was perfect. It was absolutely wonderful. And then I went to the second eye and I did too much. So then you have the decision to make. Do you start again, or do you make the other one? I went for the make it thicker. Yeah. So I think I survived. So we got through. But yeah, my morning's going well. So if that's the worst of things, well, then my morning is going well. So that's good.
Sounds like a great day.
Yeah, that's right. We've had a good start to the day. Now, we're going to be talking about abundant grace, but we're moving. We've talked about that for a few weeks now, but we're moving from talking about specifically abundant grace to how does God give us that grace every day?
Yeah.
And in Rosemary's weekly Heartbeat video this week, she talked about, she used the phrase slices of grace, which I quite liked that. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And how God each day or all the time can give us these small, let's say, pockets, these slices of grace into our life to help us through our day.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about how Jesus taught the disciples, first of all, starting off with how to pray. And he taught the amazing prayer, the Our Father. And it's been a prayer that I've always loved and more I'm loving when I just pick apart each of those words and what it means for my life. And she, yeah, talked about the slices of grace.
Yeah.
When I think of the Our Father, like it's something that we learn as Catholics really, really young. Mm-hmm. It's one of probably the first prayers, I would think, as like children, especially if you went to a Catholic primary school, you would learn.
Yeah.
And the amazing thing about the Our Father is that it has all the ingredients of a prayer. Yeah. Like it has everything you need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you praise God for who he is, you ask for your needs, you ask him to come and help you to live out his will in your life. It's just got all these bits. So we'll pull that apart and unpack that.
Yeah. Cool. So when Rosemary brought up the Our Father, I was pretty excited because... I can relate to what you were saying earlier. When I was in primary school, I learned the Our Father. We would say it every day at the beginning of school at gathering assembly or whatever it was. But honestly, I didn't really pray that prayer with the intention of what the prayer was for until I was probably in my late teens, early 20s. I'm in my early 20s now, but, you know, everyone's on a journey. So the Our Father, to me, I think structured prayer was really difficult for me to wrap my head around. Not because the words didn't have meaning, and not because like I had anything against structured prayers really, but because I felt like it was almost easier for me to express myself in spontaneous prayer, like kind of making up the words as I go along. It felt more natural for me to kind of speak about what was going on in my head or kind of
rather
ask
than
God questions.
Sometimes with like the structured prayers, I find if I'm not, let's say, really focused and intentional.
You just rattle it off.
Yeah, you rattle it off. And sometimes I feel like I can miss the meaning.
So that was kind of the issue for me, was that it felt kind of like I was this robot and this prayer had been programmed into me, but it didn't really mean anything to me. So every time I said it, I was like, I wouldn't necessarily have conscious thoughts of like, I don't like the Our Father
because it
wasn't that big of a deal to me.
Yeah.
But it was more like when I would pray the Our Father, or pray is like a heavy word, when I would say the Our Father, I would never think of the words that I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like the sentences just kind of all streamlined into this monotone kind of speech. And then we'd get to the end, we'd say amen. And then, you know, we'd go about whatever we were doing. So when she spoke about it, I was like, oh yeah, this one is really easy to get fall into that robotic trap. It's exciting to talk about.
It is. So why don't we just like pull apart each of the
I suppose, sentences of the Our Father. And if you have something to add, yeah, let's chat about it. Like if we start off with, say, Our Father who art in heaven. So we're saying, well, we know where God is. He's up there in heaven.
Yeah.
Hallowed be your name. So this is where, this is like talking about all the ingredients. This is where we're just praising God for who he is.
Mm-hmm.
God, you're holy. You're magnificent. We're glorifying him.
And we're acknowledging his authority and his,
yeah,
power.
Yeah, that's right. Like who he is. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to forget the order. Yeah. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, there you go. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now for me, this is actually my favorite sentence the Our Father. And I've loved it for ages. Every time we say it in Mass, like when we come to that sentence, I'm just like, yeah, you know. And I think it's because, like, we're asking for God's will to be on the earth, but we're asking for his kingdom, his amazing kingdom that's up there in heaven, but we're asking for it here and now.
Mm.
Like, because I really, like, God wants us to live here and now for eternity, but we are living here now.
Mm.
And he doesn't want us to be without him now just to get through to eternity. Like he, yeah, wants to, like this is, you know, I've heard people like, this is our eternity now. We've started it. And so I love that sentence because like God's kingdom is so amazing. It's so abundant and has such love and such peace that he wants all of that for us right now. And so when we get to that line every time we say it, I love it that God would come now on the earth for me, which he has by sending his son Jesus, but that he would continue to come and that in all of my life, he wants his kingdom here right now.
I love that. Like the miracles as well and that the awe and wonder of his presence, that shouldn't be just that's a charismatic thing, oh, that's a Pentecostal thing, whatever. But that it's actually that prayer coming true, a wish or a spell, but like that prayer that we speak to God, that's him answering that. That's him making his presence and his glory manifest, which is really, really cool.
Yeah. And then it's also talking about like his will being done here as well. So God, we want your perfect will for us right here, right now. So yeah, that's my favorite sentence. And then it says, give us this day our daily bread. So this is where we're asking God for our needs, and not just like the physical actual piece of bread. It's funny, actually, I've got a story about bread. It just came to me now. Many years ago when I was pregnant, one night I think my husband and I had flown in from somewhere, so we'd like arrived home and we stopped off at the office on our way home to pick something up. And I remember thinking, like, I have no food at home, and like being really emotional, like we literally have no food. And like, God, would you bless me with some food? And then getting to the office, and our friend Aaron was like, I've got this loaf of bread, and I don't need it. Would you like the bread? And I was just like, yes, thank you. And being like, oh my gosh, God has answered my prayer literally with a loaf of bread.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so it just came to me now. So God can answer you physically with bread. But this is where we're like, God, would you bless me with what I need? Would you provide for me? You know, give us this day our daily bread. Yeah.
That's really cool.
So give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So we're obviously asking God to forgive us our wrongs.
Yeah.
But we're also asking, well, we're also saying, God, I'm also trying to forgive those in my life as well.
Yeah.
Like, yes, God, I would like your forgiveness as I'm also trying to forgive. Like, God will forgive us regardless. But there's that us trying to become more like him, because we're trying to forgive others in the same way, which he can do completely.
Yeah.
And we try to do as well.
Yeah. I think sometimes we convince ourselves that this feeling of guilt or unforgiveness that we're feeling is actually God not forgiving us. But oftentimes it is us not forgiving ourselves. Because God, as soon as we ask, it's done, you know.
Yep.
God already knew the sins that we were going to commit.
Yeah.
And he's still, you know, immediately when we ask, he's ready to forgive us. That's very interesting, really easy to resonate with.
Yep. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So we're then saying, God, would you help me with my failings? Would you help me with all my weaknesses? Would you guide me away from that? Would you be with me? And would you protect me?
really interesting that it says, it doesn't say, like, take away temptation.
Mm.
But it says, lead me not into temptation.
Yep.
I like that. I like that it says, lead me not into temptation rather than take away temptation. Because I think that that makes the journey almost more worthwhile.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm tempted a lot to sin.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to be sassy and I'm tempted to, you know, whatever, to say maybe a rude word when I'm driving or whatever. But I like that it's almost like you're there walking beside me to lead me into a different direction.
Mm.
Not to make me blind to temptation, but to help me see past it, because I think that strengthens us way more than if it didn't exist.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, for sure. I think it draws us closer to him, that reliance.
Yeah.
Would you lead me from temptation? Because, gosh, if it's there and you're not going to lead me, I'm going to just go straight there. Like, you know, and if I'm going to ignore you, God, I'm probably still going to go towards the temptation.
Yeah.
So, God, I need to rely on you that you would lead me.
Yeah. To deliver us from evil. So if we do lean towards those temptations, to deliver us towards his goodness again. I love that. Like, it makes me think of like a returns package. I bought some jeans yesterday. I was pretty upset. They didn't fit me.
Aww.
I was very excited for them to arrive. I have to return them.
That's a sad feeling.
They're from America as well, I have to post them all the way back.
Yeah.
It makes me think of that. Like, oh, we lent into something that was a little bit, you know, didn't quite fit how our spirit is meant to be. And so God is the one who packages us up and sends us back on the way that we're meant to be.
Back on the right track. Yeah. Let's go again. And he can do it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, that's just a very brief, like, discussion about our Father. But it's got everything that, like, God has taught us there. Jesus has taught us when we pray. Like, we don't have to use those words. But if we want to use those words, there's everything that we need there to say, God, you're amazing. God, I want your will in my life and your kingdom to be here. I trust in you that you will provide for me. Lord, forgive me for what I'm doing. Help me to forgive others and help me with my weaknesses and temptations.
Mm.
Lead me on the right path. And would you look after me?
Yeah, like, I love that.
You know, which are, if I think of my prayers that I give to God, they're elements of all that. Like, they might not be all of that every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes it might be just a lot of just, God, I'm asking for this, 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 and this. But, like, this particular prayer has everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm. In ministry last year, I made friends with this really awesome guy from Las Vegas. And his name was Vinny. And when we would work with young people and we were teaching them how to pray, we did a youth group together. The kids would always, one of their main questions on a Q&A night would be, how do you pray? Like, any new kid that came in would be like, okay, you say to pray, but it's too hard. Yeah. I don't know how to do it. And he actually had this really simple formula, which I think resonates with the Our Father. It was actually an acronym for pray. It was praise, reflect, ask, yield.
Yep.
So praise God for his glory and his goodness and for the great works that he has done and made present in your life. Reflect on, in any circumstance, maybe you reflect on your day, maybe you reflect on this. In the Our Father, you're reflecting on, give us this day our daily bread. You're reflecting on that abundant grace that we're talking about, or those slices of grace that maybe we need the eyes to see in our life. Ask. What's the line? I don't know. Forgive us our... No.
Or give us this day our daily bread.
So that's also part of it. Give us this day our daily bread. Asking for more of God's goodness in our life and for the ability to handle that, and then yield to deliver us from evil. I surrender to you, God, that your will is way more perfect than mine. And I'm going to allow you to deliver me from whatever is going wrong or whatever I've been doing wrong in order that I might be on the right path.
I love that. That's good. And once again, it encompasses everything that the Our Father is. So from the Our Father, focusing now on the slices of grace, which is, where we see the hand of God in our life.
Yeah.
Which sometimes
well, I think he's always there, but we have to really look sometimes. Like, like when it's not necessarily a massive thing, it can be. And for some of us, we've experienced that in different times of our lives. But then it's also these slices of grace. So just this bit to keep us going, to keep us going.
And it's funny because in the video, if you watch it, Rosemary loves using props.
Always.
In her talks. And it always makes me smile. So in this one, she brought out a loaf of bread that was cut into slices. And let me tell you, when I was watching it, I was a bit like, pregnant Emma. I was like, give me some of that. That looks good. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm sure it is a full slice of grace, but it almost looks like a breadcrumb to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'm looking at it from such an angle, or maybe from a perspective, or maybe I've been holding back from God, so I'm so far away that that slice of grace actually looks like a breadcrumb to me. Yeah, so where was that point going? I think that it was just like, what were you talking about?
I was going to say how good bread is.
yes.
No, but like how, and maybe it's silly, but you know, if you eat a slice of bread, like because you're really hungry, sometimes that can get you through, if that makes sense. Yes. You know, like these slices of grace that God gives us can be what sustain us.
And so that was my point. Yeah. I just remembered that's that slice of grace, even if we're looking at it from a distance, if we like consume that breadcrumb, can still be as filling as a slice.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to get to.
No, you did good. Yeah,
Thank you.
Yeah. Like when we hear the stories that were shared, was Ashley and Juliet, Ashley speaking about how he was able to bless someone who was homeless, and that he felt like then God was able to bless him with like the rent being reduced.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that when we do something directly, God directly answers like that. Yeah. Not always. Like, not I think always. Sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think God can, but I don't think that that always is like that. But I think with Ashley's story, like, he really feels like God, you know, he was able to be gracious to someone, I suppose, like, by giving to him, and then God was gracious to him.
Yeah. And I think there's such a diversity to, like, how God responds and who God is as well. So when I was listening to that story, you're right, like God doesn't always respond by a physical
that's kind probably of what it meant. Yeah
But there are times that he does. I really love that story. I know Ashley personally, he's one of my girlfriend's dads, and when I was watching the video, I was like, that is so typical of him to be moved, like to be moved in compassion rather than to just kick him out of the restaurant. But also that story really just made me think about maybe going back to that breadcrumb theory, like how many breadcrumbs does God leave leading us, not into the temptation to just kind of get things done, but to love or serve someone in the process.
It made me think of the story in the Bible. I'm not sure where it is, but where I suppose we get to heaven and God says to us, but did you give me a drink of water when I was, you know, I'm going to really like not say it correctly, but, you know, did you feed me? Did you clothe me when I was naked? Did you help me when I was in need? Like when Ashley helped the man who was homeless who came into his restaurant by washing his feet and giving him socks, it really made me think of Jesus and how that's what God asks of us, like that we would give, like it just really spoke to me, of giving to others like that.
And that is really God's request of us, in its ultimate form, is that we see a little piece of him in everyone. Right, so when Ashley did see a little piece of him in everyone, in that particular man, even he was really fulfilling the main ask of God, is that we love one another as we would want to be loved. So I mean, God forbid, if I was ever homeless, I would only pray that someone would treat me like that.
And then God's grace to Ashley to bless him with the reduction in the rent that he needed, like they're those slices of grace that Rosemary's talking about, we're blessed with. And then in Juliet's story, where the grace that she received was just the paperwork to be thrown out, that you know, these kind of things where her son had gone to court and in the end the case couldn't go ahead because the police had lost lost the paperwork, and Juliet's praying that, you know, God would bless her son and look after him in this situation, and this is what happened. Like, you know, there's just small pockets, like the slices of grace that God gives us for everything that we're going through, whether it's really hard times or not, and these were circumstances that were really trying. God was able to bless both of them in that situation.
I think oftentimes, like maybe it's just me, but I think I can think, like, if I'm praying for something, I'll often like I'll be convicted that, oh, like this person's heart will be changed, or like, oh, this person's feelings might change, or the way that someone's treating them might change. Like, it's more like a internal change that I think will happen, rather than like a physical change. These two stories, the fact that the change, or the thing that like the grace that God did give them, was a physical thing, I think that's just like a really cool testimony to have, because I think so often it's easy for us to be like, oh, you know, like, oh, God helped in this situation, but like these situations, it's so evident. Like, what is the chance that these people who really wanted to arrest her son lost the paperwork? That's crazy.
That's right.
I loved that.
I know. I love those stories too, that like, you're like, it only has to be God. Like, how can,
And it reminds me that miracles aren't just like a movie thing.
Like,
there's that movie about the kid who was in the tree and he fell, and I can't remember the name of the movie, but basically this child fell down the middle of a tree, got knocked out, and there was like no chance that they would survive, and the family the son ended up experiencing a miracle. And it's based on a true story. Often the times those movies are, but for me, watching the movie, because it's actors and it's a little bit dramatized, it's so easy for me to be like, oh, like miracles like that are just a movie thing.
Or it's an other thing, like it doesn't happen to me.
It's easy to be like, a miracle looks like this.
Rather than
anything can happen. God is all powerful.
Right. I think that brings it back to like my everyday life. Like I said, then that doesn't happen to me, but God's grace does happen to me. Like, it can happen to me all the time, and it does to keep me going. Like, I just feel like I should share it now. I was going to share it. I will again later when I do the scripture. But my daughter Hannah has to have dental surgery next week. We just got the call yesterday to say, oh, come in next week, you got the date. And I'm just like, oh, her poor little mouth, you know, it's going to be, she's got such a little mouth, it's going to be so sore. And because my daughter's intellectual disability, you can't really even explain what's going to go on, because she doesn't understand.
So afterwards it's going to be...
it's just, she's going to wake up and it's going to be painful. You know, and I'm thinking about all the things I need to get done, you know, okay, I've got to rearrange her appointments, I've got to tell school, I've got to, you know, all those things. And then, like, you know, I'm like, God, how am I going to get this done? And then, like, the scripture that came to mind was like, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Like, no, Emma, I'm here to get you through all this. Like, you know, and it just, you know, that's just me stressing about something that, well, is something understandable to stress about, you know, a health thing, and then other things you've got to organise around that.
Definitely.
And that's where God's grace comes in, and just those, even either the thoughts that you have, the peace that comes over you, or like Ashley and Juliet's stories in this week's video of an actual physical provision.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not just that, it's also just that peace and comfort that comes into your heart. So it's God can do all those things.
And it really is, I think, the awesome thing about slices of grace in anyone's life is that the slice of grace in your life could be what leads me to the slice of grace in my life, which could be the thing that leads someone else to their slice of grace. And so, like, even you saying that, it's reminding me of situations in my own life that I could rely on the graces of God rather than myself. I could be like Juliet and pray without ceasing, like scripture tells us to. Because she says this whole time, like, oh, I'm going outside, I'm praying nonstop, I'm leading up to the situation, I'm praying nonstop. So what's that a reminder to me to do? And I think that following the fruits of, like, those slices of grace in other people's life, in Ashley's life, where he was personally impacted by that homeless man that he helped, he's never forgotten him. And the physical kind of provision that God gave. Those are all reminders for me to look for my own slices of grace.
Yeah, very much so.
The weekly challenge this week is have a look at your life and where can you see the slices of grace? Maybe it's a physical provision. Maybe it's something internally in your heart, peace in your heart, where God comes and comforts you, where he gives you the strength to keep going. Where are the slices of grace in your life? Have a look this week and see what you can see. See where God's showing you those slices of grace. And if you see something, why don't you comment to us on our socials, on Facebook and Instagram, Heart Ministry for Women, because we would love to share that grace with you as well.
Worship song of the week.
So each week we like to speak about a worship song that has been impacting our faith journey. And this week, because of Rosemary's video, I was reminded of a song by a woman named Jen Johnson. And it's called Our Father. And it actually has all the lyrics to the Our Father in it. This song made me take a look really carefully at the words of Our Father and the meaning behind them, and actually the power that comes from praying those words. Like I was saying before in the podcast, I think it's really easy for us to hear a prayer 1,000 times and to really kind of become robots and to just like spin off all of these words that don't really have meaning in our hearts. But when listening to this song and taking time to pay attention, it was actually evident to me that these words that Jesus taught us are life-altering, like mentally, spiritually shifting kind of words, that if we take them seriously and hand them to the power of God alongside our prayers, that they would really make really beautiful changes and maybe draw our eyes towards the slices of grace in our lives.
So
what?
This week for So What, I want to look at the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. It says this, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" Now, this scripture is about Paul, and he's talking to the people in Corinth. He's trying to tell the people of Corinth about God and the resurrection of Jesus. He's talking to them, trying to tell them about God and the resurrection of Jesus. But the people of Corinth, they're not convinced. And Paul's saying to them, you know, "I don't want you to be impressed with me, with Paul, because I'm weak. I know my failings. But it's God who's powerful in me. It's God who gives Paul the grace to do what he's been asked to do despite his weaknesses." So Paul's saying that God has said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Now, sometimes when I think of the word sufficient, like I think of the word enough, and I thought, what? So God's grace is just enough for me? But then I thought about it some more. Sufficient means enough, but it's God's grace that's enough for me because I'm not enough. So God makes up for my lack of sufficiency. So when I can't do it, when I think, God, I can't keep going, God, I'm not going to be able to do what you've asked me to do, it's God who comes and makes up the difference, because God is our extra. God is the sufficiency we need to do what he's asked us to do. God brings us that grace when we're inadequate. And so this scripture is encouraging to us, because when you're feeling weak in your life, when you think you've been given a task that, God, there's no way I can achieve this, I know who I am, I know my failings, God comes and says, yes, but with my grace, you can achieve it. With my grace in your weakness, you can achieve. I was sharing earlier that like my daughter needs to have an operation next week, just have dental x-rays and surgery. And because of her intellectual disability, she has to be put to sleep just to even have an x-ray. And I got the phone call only yesterday, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, like the number of things I now need to rearrange and organize because we're going to be at hospital this day. And therefore she's probably also going to have the next day off because she probably won't be up to going to school. She probably won't feel like it. And like just crying out to God, like almost literally in tears, like, God, how can I do all this stuff? And this scripture just came to mind. Emma, my grace is sufficient for you. Yes, you're weak, but
I can do the rest. God will make up the difference. And this scripture actually wasn't the one I was going to do today. I was going to do another scripture in Romans, and I'd prepared for it. And then when I had that moment yesterday, I just felt like God said, "No, Emma, this is the scripture to share how amazing our God is, that he knows that when we can't do it, when we can't live up to who we want to be, that God's grace allows us to be the person that he's called us to be, because he's the one who's giving us the power to do it." I pray and hope that this scripture really encourages you this week, and that if there are times in your life that you can't get through, that you think, "God, I'm not up to this task," that you would remember that it's God's grace that makes you up to it, because of your weakness and because of how abundantly gracious he is to us.
Spotlight. I'm going to spotlight again this week. We're going to highlight someone or something that has really been speaking into our faith journeys. And this week, specifically thinking about ways that perhaps we as humans fall short, or we have a really great need for God. I was thinking about resources and people that had impacted the way I view myself and view God's work in my life. And one person that I really thought of was a really funky named gal called Janessa. Janessa Waite is a Christian creative. She's a wife, designer, creative, and speaker who believes that encouragement and truth has the power to change the way we live. And she actually started her hand lettering journey in 2015 as a hobby. And it turned into a business pretty quickly as a way to encourage people and also to fill their homes with encouraging words, so that when they're looking into maybe the decor around their house, or when people come to their house, that there would be reminders of the grace of God and also God's ever-present love for people. She has a really strong passion to impact the way people think about who they are and what they're destined for. And so Janessa creates prints and journals, homewares and apparel, and you can find all of these products on her website, Janessa Waite, spelt the same way as if you were in a waiting room, .com. Or if you're looking for some encouraging posts to fill your feed, she actually makes some really beautiful hand-lettered posts on Instagram, and you can follow her, Janessa Waite.
We've talked a lot on our podcast this week. There's a lot that we've had to share with you, so we really hope that it's encouraged you and blessed you in your life. Remember, our weekly challenge for this week is, where are the slices of grace in your life? Where is God blessing you? Have a look, see, you know, if something comes up and you weren't expecting it, that could be God blessing you. Or like Michaela said earlier, maybe we need to pray unceasingly. And that's where we will see the grace, because we've asked him to come.
And speaking of this week's challenge, we would really love to hear from you about what that slice of grace might be, or maybe a way that this talk impacted you. So if you would love to comment down below at our website, that would be great. We'd also love it if you could leave a review on iPodcast if you're watching that. And another thing we'd love is if you could follow us on our social media, Heart Ministry for Women. We post fairly regularly throughout the week, and we'd love it if you would follow us and journey with us so that we can interact with you.
That'd be great. We would love that. So we hope that, and pray that you have a really blessed week, and we look forward to chatting with you all next week. Bye.